This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, special privilege. I have my good friend Greg Lopez back in studio. As you know, Greg was running for governor. And, Greg, first of all, welcome. Good to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you, Scott.
Man. And, Greg, man, we sit here, I think we first met at the International Sportsman's Expo. And, boy, I didn't really know you then, but I spent just a few minutes with you. And I told my wife, Victoria, I said, that's the guy we need for governor. And so you started a couple of years ago campaigning for this, and certainly did a lot of shows since then. And, you know, we were fully in your corner, but it didn't work out that way. And we have Governor Polis back again. But just kind of take a few minutes and reflect back on, because, man, when I was tired looking at your schedule, man. First of all, you were in, as far as I know, every county, right, district, whatever, in the whole state. I mean, you were burning the candle at both ends, man. So just kind of reflect back on what happened.
Well, you know, Scotty, you know, I think we all were disappointed in the outcome. You know, not only did we not win any single race at the state level, but we lost some of the House seats and we lost some of the Senate seats, you know, so we're really behind the eight ball. But I can tell you this, you know, I have hope of where Colorado's going, specifically in the people. You know, I think as I travel the state, I talked to a lot of unaffiliated voters and Democrat voters and Republicans, and they all told me, you know, Greg, we're ready for a change. You know, and unfortunately, they didn't get a change. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we got to deal with what the next 4 year brings us. But we already know, and I told you, and everybody knew this, right, that the governor is not interested in being governor. He wants to be president of the United States. And what's he doing? He's on national TV. You know, he's on The View. He's on other shows. You know, he's already looking at where he's going to go. You know, and so as I look back, Scott, you know, I did a lot of great things. I met a lot of great people. You know, we had a great campaign. You know, we fell a little short. But I think it's because the party is divided. You know, people don't want to talk about the division that exists within the Republican Party. And it's there. You know, and even, you know, Dick Wadhams and Christy Burton Brown have said, you know what, after they saw the election results, they're saying, you know, we really don't see how Republicans are going to win statewide offices into the future. Well, I would say, you know what, if we keep the status quo, they're actually correct, right? Because we've been using the same playbook, you know, and we keep losing. You know, and I don't know there's anything much more for us to lose.
I know.
You know, so we definitely have to change it around. We have to look at individuals that have a different outlook on how we're going to move forward. We got to have candidates that can really connect with all types of voters, you know, and so this is what we need to do. We got to rebrand. And so that's what I'm going to be doing, is helping people understand, hey, look, we got to look into the future, but we can't be doing the same thing over and over again, because we're going to keep losing.
Sure. So, you know, and we were kind of saying this before we came on air, and, you know, I don't do a lot of political shows. I never, but with you, I wanted to, because I wanted you to be our governor. But, you know, even with Kim Munson and stuff, and listening to Kim shows, and Kim, of course, does an outstanding job on things, it just seems like, you know, the Republican Party just leaves all the different candidates out there just to kind of fight their own little battle. I mean, instead of, like I used to, a Texas term, hey, right, instead of the cavalry coming, man, dumping some money in to make it make to help with the fight and all that.
I know.
It's just confusing.
Well, you know what? It's that mindset that they want, to some extent, right? They want to pick the winners and losers. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give everybody the right opportunity. And so we need to change that. Look, you know, and I know, anybody that wants to run for office, they're putting their family on the line. They're putting a lot on the line.
Sure.
We need to encourage that, right? We need to promote them. And I'm not saying that we got to fully fund every campaign.
Right.
But they need to know that we're behind them, right? And if that means you write a $500 check or a $100 check from the state party, whatever it may be, you know, you got to let them know that you really want them to continue. Because good people that are watching from the sidelines and watching in the stands, if they see that the party really doesn't care about the candidates, they're not going to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we got to change our mantra. We got to change our brand. We got to reevaluate. You know, I tell people, it's kind of like, imagine for the minute the Broncos season right now, right? A lot of people don't want to talk about the Broncos,
sure.
Right? And yet, you know, we expected great things. You know, we had a great quarterback. They were saying, you know, what we're seeing now is maybe it wasn't as great as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, people are already asking, you know, what are we going to change? And they're starting to make changes.
Yeah.
They're not going to keep the status quo.
Sure.
Unfortunately, for the Republican Party, we always love to keep the status quo. And so we keep losing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's time for a new vision. I think it's time for a new brand. You know, I think it's time that we actually do outreach. You know, there's a lot of Hispanics that are Republicans, and they just don't know it. And I know I've said this many times before.
Sure.
But just to give you an idea, you know, I'm doing a little work at the house, and there was a young Hispanic man that came yesterday to do some drywall work. And we were talking in Spanish, and then I asked him, I said, hey, you know, where are you from? And he says, I'm from Denver, man. I said, do you speak English? He goes, yeah.
And y'all were talking.
Yeah, we speak Spanish. And I said, hey, not to, you know, we don't have to talk politics if you don't want, but I'm just curious, do you vote? And he says, no, I don't. I said, why? He goes, you know what, Greg? I feel like nobody cares about us. The Democrats don't care about us. The Republicans don't care about us. You know, it seems like when I do vote, it doesn't change dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing any real changes for the hardworking men and women like me. You know, he's 26, and he's out there working hard. And he
yep.
sees it. I can make a living off of this, and I can provide for my family. And so we were talking. I say, well, by the way, I say, you know, the reason I'm asking is because I really want to know why your generation feels that way. And, you know, I ran for governor. He goes, no way. I said, yeah. He goes, you know what? The fact that you're talking to me like this and you were a governor candidate, I never would have envisioned
mm-hmm.
that a governor candidate would take the time to be out here talking to me, you know, just like anybody else.
Sure.
You know, and so we got to be out there. You know, mm-hmm. they're thirsting for good leadership.
Yeah.
I pray that this legislative session that's coming up is not going to hurt us more. You know, I prayed that the first time that the governor got elected. But I'm already hearing rumblings, right? You're hearing it, right?
Oh, sure.
Hey, this is his last term, right? They can overturn any veto. You know, the Republicans can stay home and not even show up for work. And they still have a quorum, not mm-hmm. only on the House, but in the Senate. So we got a tough road ahead of us, but we got to focus in on local races. We got to focus in on the school boards. You know, we can slowly turn this around.
Right.
And that's what we got to stay focused in on.
Sure. So as you went around and were talking to all the different groups and people, and man, I was at events with you and there were 50 people, and there were events with you where several hundred people. I mean, you know, right. You had all different sizes of groups that came there, and it seemed like all of them were saying the same thing. Hey, we're ready for change and all that. But then you wonder when it comes to that voting time, you know, just what happens?
You know, well, just like anything else, right? Desperate times call for desperate measures, and I think sometimes candidates get desperate because they want to win,
mm-hmm.
right? And you knew this. I mean, look, when the Democrats started running attack ads on me,
sure,
right? It was interesting to me how the Republican establishment, and some of even the Republican candidates were saying, well, he's the weakest candidate. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You interpret them attacking me.
You want to spend millions,
right?
To get rid.
And I was the weakest candidate. You know, and I had a conversation with another individual the other day, and I said, let me ask you something. I said, were you around when Scott McGinnis ran for governor against Don Mays and Tom Tancredo? And he goes, yeah. I said, would you say Scott McGinnis was the weakest candidate? He said, no, Greg, he was the strongest candidate. I said, and you know the Democrats ran ads against him back then. He goes, yeah, I've forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even the governor, Scott, I saw the governor after the primary at a big event for the Hispanic community. And he came up to me, goes, Greg, he goes, I want you to know something. He goes, I was not part of those attack ads that were coming at you. He goes, well, isn't it funny how the political pundits get it wrong? You weren't the weakest candidate. You and I know that. He goes, you are the strongest candidate. I'm glad that you are making it because, you know what, when I win, maybe you and I should have a conversation. And I said, well, you know, Governor, let's just see what happens.
Absolutely. Again, Greg Lopez is our guest. And You know, and I think I took a personal reflection, and I just said earlier, hey, I don't do a lot in the politics. And you know what? I think if we don't get some people like even me off of that to getting understanding issues and not just finding a candidate they like, but why? Right. Why should I, you know, jump in with that person, support that person, and just understanding issues? So do you think there's an educational side to this for voters of just on a lot of different issues?
There's a big educational component that we need to do. We need to start now. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't even know that there's a caucus coming up in February. Right. And this is where everybody gets the opportunity to go to their public schools and have a meeting, you know, and talk about the issues, talk about who might be running for office and look at the future. And so there is a lot of education, but we should have started yesterday. Yeah. Actually, we should have started the day after the election cycle. Mm-hmm. Right. But you have a lot of people that are just kind of reflecting, you know, and they're not planning for the future. They're not looking at what they're going to do. You know, and I've been doing that planning. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people across the state. I'm going to travel again in the state because I want to talk to some of the people, you know, that are true leaders in the Republican Party and ask them, what are we going to do? What are we going to do for now? Because, you know, some people are saying, well, we're not going to win. And they pretty much have thrown in the towel, I feel, you know. But we must have a plan. You know, in any type of business, in any type of goal setting, you know, and I used to be a financial advisor, Scott, and I used to tell people, look, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan.
Sure.
You know, and I want to make sure that we have a plan for winning. And right now, the first step we got to do, got to get rid of that playbook. Mm-hmm. Our playbook is outdated. So we got to have new strategy, new people, you know, young people to come onto the party. We got to welcome them. We got to make sure that they understand that they have a part in the future of the state. And so this is what I look to do is encourage and recruit and bring people back. Now, it's going to be a heavy lift because very few people want to join a losing team.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. But we got to give them an insight of what the future is going to look like. And more importantly, what is going to happen to their freedoms and their liberties.
Right.
Like I said, I just hope that the next 4 years are not worse than the first 4 years of this administration, but only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. The abortion issue was huge in every race around everything. What do you think that played into all this?
You know, I think, again, right, it's messaging. You know, I tell people the whole overturn of Roe versus Wade had nothing to do with abortion. It really didn't. It had to do with states' rights. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court said, look, it's not our place for us to determine what's going to happen across the nation. And a lot of people have forgotten the Constitution. You know, we don't even teach the Constitution anymore. You know, it's the 10th Amendment. We should have been talking about, this is about the 10th Amendment. This is about the Constitution. This is not about abortion. This is about who gets to decide. And it was the people of the state of Colorado, and they had decided. The legislature had already passed a bill about abortion. So we bought into that narrative that really hurt us. We should have stayed true to what it was. It was a clear distinction between the states get to decide what's in the best interest of their people, or is a nation, the people in Washington, you know, thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court said, you know what? We're going to give it back to the people. We're going to give it back to the states where it belongs. And we lost that opportunity to educate, to educate the general public about what that issue was all about.
Yeah, for sure. President Trump recently announced he was running again. You know, see, to me it would have been cool if he would have come here and campaigned for Greg Lopez. See, that would have been cool. But what do you think about, let's just take a look at that race a little bit.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's interesting because there's a lot of, you know, difference of opinions going on, which is really what America's about, right? Mm-hmm. We got to be able to have and express our opinions without really feeling that, you know, we're going to be threatened for our lives or anything like that, right? You know, I think, you know, the president is really looking to the future of this state, of the nation. He really wants to save America. You know, is he the right person for the 2024 election? I don't know.
I know.
You know, there's a lot of good candidates out there. He's got the right passion, though.
Oh, he does.
You know, he does. I mean, he will dive on the sword for America.
Sure.
You know, and that's really what you want. Mm-hmm. Now, as it pertains to his messaging and his delivery, I think we all could say, you know what, there's a different way to say what you want to say without feeling that, you know, a lot of people are being offended or feeling like that's not right. You know, in my campaign, Scott, I used to tell my team, you know, we will say what we mean. We just won't say it mean.
Yeah.
Because you can still get your point across.
Absolutely.
You know, and so only time will tell.
I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back, and I remember, you know, it was right before Memorial Day, I think, you invited me to go to a meeting with you for a lot of restaurant owners, and we went to that. Still, many, many businesses are suffering because of all the mandated closings, all the mass stuff that happened, you know, and the mandates of how many people you could have and all that. That crushed a lot of
families.
Lifelong dreams right there.
Yeah, it did. You know, and to your point, and we never spoke about that. You know, we never really pushed that issue. What happened to those small businesses, to those moms and pops that had everything on the line?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what some things we should have focused on. We should have focused on, you know what, let's look at the future. You know, let's look at what we're going to do better for our state. Even now, small businesses are struggling. You know, they can't find labor.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know why they can't find people to work. I mean, look, you know, people need to be out there making their own living. You know, they can't rely on government all the time. I'm not saying that we got to remove the safety net, but we got to figure out how long that safety net needs to be out there.
We can't give it away. Can't be giving away college. We can't give, you know, everything. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I got a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, strong Republican. Got three daughters in college. All three of them voted straight Democrat.
Think about that. You know, and you have to ask yourself, what is it that they're hearing?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they're being told, right, in the universities and college?
Right.
Why do they feel that, you know, government has all the solutions? You know, I've been reading a book about a number of speeches. And one of the speeches that's in this book is the inauguration of the speech from President John F. Kennedy. And I think the Democrats have forgotten this. You know, one of the most famous quotes of his speech is not do not ask what the country can do for you.
Yep.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Right.
You know, and we've forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we want to know is what's government going to do for me? You know, and we got to flip that around and get back to, you know what, independence, accountability. We can make our own futures. We can be in control of our own destiny. You know, and so as we move forward, you know, I was listening to another radio show, and it's kind of interesting because even his daughter, and he's a Republican, right? And his daughter was like, you know, I don't know that I can vote a Republican ticket because I'm not getting the message. I'm not hearing what you guys stand for.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I stand for.
Right.
But as far as the candidates, I'm not hearing what they're standing for. You know, and so we got to be bold and courageous. Look, and I will continue to say this. The challenges that we face today, every single day, you know, not only here in Colorado but across the nation, is because we have abandoned God. We've abandoned him.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
You know, we bring him back into the public square. We talk about the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you would like to be treated. And a lot of this stuff goes away. You know, we do have compassion towards our brothers and sisters. But compassion only goes where you are able to help them to be self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to cripple them.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like you remember that movie with Denzel Washington, right? The Titans.
Oh, yeah.
You tell that coach in the hallway, you're crippling them.
Right.
You know? We can't cripple each other. We got to hold each other up.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to make sure that they have a equal opportunity to be able to live the American dream.
Sure.
You know, so we got a lot to do, and education is key to this, guy.
Right. So what's next for us as citizens? I mean, if you say, hey, look, this, you know, we do have to get involved. We need to educate ourselves on what's going on and really understanding what is really happening, because – I mean, you look at all the different things that happen, it seems like when it's promoted, it doesn't seem so bad. But then when it comes down to it, that was really bad.
Right.
But it's just because we didn't know. It's kind of like, you know, when they came out, oh, pass the bill and then we'll read it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing. That's all that's got to stop, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Look, you know, we're coming into the holidays, and you mentioned it, right? Thanksgiving. And what happens at Thanksgiving, right? We get a lot of family, you know, and this is an opportunity for us to reengage, right, and reconnect. I'm a firm believer, you know, the two things we should talk about this tomorrow is the two things that people tell
religion
us.
Religion and politics.
Exactly.
You know? I'm telling you.
You know, and that doesn't mean we've got to hate each other.
Sure.
You know, let's be civil. Let's be statesmen. Let's educate each other, not condemn each other. Because if we can understand each other, then we can move forward, right? As a people, as a state. And so, you know, when people say, Greg, what can we do? Well, the first thing I tell people, look, you need to start listening. You need to start doing your own research. Ask questions. You know, don't just accept what people are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Validate it. More importantly, validate it from your own conclusions or your peers or your circle of influence.
Right.
Because ultimately, you're responsible for your decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so education, you know, talking about it, I think, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. You know, people are asking me now, you know, Greg, what are you going to do now?
I know. That's my next question. What's next for Greg Lopez?
You know, and they're like, you can't go away, Greg. We need you. The state needs you. You know, to be honest with you, I'm still kind of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have said, hey, Greg, you should be a public speaker. You should be out there educating people about everything that's going on. Other people have said, hey, Greg, how do you feel becoming a state party chairman? I said, well, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. They said, well, we need good leadership. We need something different. You know, and we talked about that earlier. Others have said, hey, what about starting a 501c4? What about starting a citizen advocacy group?
Right.
You know? And again, basically all these options are for people to say, you know what, your voice matters. And I, you know, I think about that and I say, you know what, but my voice is going to be a reflection of the voices of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I have the ability to showcase that, then maybe that's what I should be doing. So,
right.
You know, I'm thinking of some stuff. So, you know, I'm going to tell all your listeners and everybody out there, just
stay tuned.
I'm not going away.
And, you know, I mean, just several events that I was with you at, too. I mean, people listen to you, and I think for people that got to meet you for the first time were shocked of just maybe what they had in their mind, what a Greg Lopez would look like, sound like, talk like. And then they met you, and they're like, just a normal guy, mm-hmm. man, that, you know, loves our state,
yep.
loves our freedoms, and just wants to protect all of that. And, you know, your business side of things, too, and that's one thing that I was saying, man, this guy's everything. You know, he's a gun guy. You know, I mean, we love that with our Sportsman right. Colorado show and all. And you know, but you got a good business sense about you, too, that we're small businesses. And, man, that's the heartbeat of our state right. for people, too. And so it's just, man, what can we do? And I'm just telling you, I think it's a big challenge for all of us, including myself, you know,
yeah.
to just make up your mind, you know what? Maybe I'm the problem I didn't get involved enough. And, you know, and so, and if everybody took, hey, and bumped it up 50%,
right.
that's better than what we had this last time.
Yeah, look, you know, we have to fight for our freedoms and our liberties. You know, freedom isn't free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what we need to do is discern, right? How are we going to, what role are we going to play?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that, for whatever reason, age, disabilities, or family issues, they can't really be out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
but they can pick up the phone. You know, they can talk to people. They can call into your radio station
sure.
and have an opinion, right? Or they can knock on doors, right? They can write a check. One thing I always told people, and, you know, they laugh at it, but this is a true statement. Maybe they'll start listening more closely. You know, the Democrats would tell me, you know, Greg, when we get mad,
I remember.
You know, we don't go on Facebook. You know, we got people that do that all the time, but we don't necessarily support what they're saying. But when we get mad,
right.
we write checks.
Yep.
$5 checks, a $10 check. You know, and I tell people, think about that for a minute. There's over 975,000 registered Republicans in the state of Colorado. If everyone, anytime they got upset about something, would write a $5 check, just think what the party would have.
Sure.
To support those candidates yeah. that you were talking about earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
To help people.
Right.
To get their message across there because it's our platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the things that people need to reflect on, right? What could I have done? And a lot of people think, well, I don't have time to spend hours knocking on doors or being on the phone. That's
right.
okay. You know, we all have our own little piece.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, man, I just want to say thank you, you know, from me personally, and I know there's many that would voice this if they could sit here with you, just say thank you for all the sacrifice that you did do to, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has a concept of really the sleepless nights and the 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night and then back on it again and back out there. So, I mean, man, you know, fought a hard fight, but, man, we need to just get the result different.
Yeah.
Again, that's just bottom line. You got to win, you know?
Yeah.
And like you, a great analogy with the Broncos, I guarantee you the Walton Pinner group here is not going to stand by. They're going to say, hey, we got to get the message different. Yeah. Evidently, the message from the coach to the deal isn't working, so what do you got to do? You got to change the message and get the right players and get the right team around you that can push us across.
And a different playbook, right? Yeah. Maybe we're calling the wrong plays, you know? I mean, you can only run into a brick wall so many times before someone's like, okay, man, we got to do something different.
Right.
You know, and to your point, look, for all those candidates and all those future candidates, you know, we know that it is a sacrifice that we make, but we don't make it because we're looking for a title. We're doing it because we care, you know.
Sure.
And this Thanksgiving, I'm going to give thanks to my family, my wife, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for standing there,
unbelievable.
You know, traveling the state with me, you know, being aware that, you know, I was going to be gone sometimes. You know, as you know, I was gone 3 to 4 days a week.
I know.
Traveling the state. You know, and so, but again, it was never work for me, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoy being out there with the people, and I'm a firm believer the Lord wants me on this path, and that's why, you know what, I'm always at peace.
Sure.
You know, and I will always be bold and courageous in my positions and where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for those out there that say, hey, you know what is the future for Greg, or where is he going to go? I can tell you, you know, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stay in the fight. There's going to be a different role for me for the next couple of years, but you never know, right? But I encourage everyone, join me, stand with me, let's do this together.
Yeah,
because we all want a state that we all could be proud of, and it's time for us. Let's make Colorado Colorado again.
I know, man.
Let's not make
how
it California.
Refreshing that would be. It really would. Well, Greg, man, great to see you. We'll do this more often, and we are looking forward to staying tuned to see what's next for you, my friend.
Same here.
Thanks for being with us here for Haystack. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy-down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, $262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16. NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Hey, Dan, you know our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food. And here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle. 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Food Chat. Food Chat is hosted by me, Chef Jackson Lamb, and Greg Bloom. We are sponsored by RanchFreshMeats.com. We'll tell you about them later on today. Welcome, Greg. Here we are again in the studio talking about every type of food that's out there.
So yeah, we're all about reconnecting people to their food and highlighting, showcasing local food manufacturers that people may probably don't even know are there. And one of the great companies that fits that mold is the one we have on today. Tell us a bit about our show today, Jackson.
We've got Rich Schneider with Rockalita's Tortillas, which is right in the middle of downtown Denver. And, hey, Rich, are you on the air?
Yes, sir. I'm with you guys.
Good okay.
Morning. Welcome, Rich.
Rich, it's a pleasure to have you on Food Chat this morning. You and I have quite a history together. But, you know, the fact that you have a shop that's at 31st and Larimer, I find that to be one of the most amazing situations. Why don't you give us a quick overview of Rockalita's? And, you know, you're down there on Larimer. How long have you been there? And, you know, just give us a background.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for having us on. Excuse my voice. I'm a little sore in the throat here, but I'm going to do my best, guys. And again, thanks for having us on. Rockalita's Tortillas, we're here at 3111 Larimer Street. Believe it or not, this was the old, for those of you that have been in Denver long enough, you might remember Duffy's Soda. Remember the Duffy's Soda?
Oh, yeah. They had all stuff?
Well, we are in their old building.
Oh.
Which I find hilarious because that's exactly what we do, is all kinds of different flavors and wild colors and flavors of tortillas. So there must be some magic juju here in the dirt on 31st and Larimer.
I'm sure there is.
But our business traces its roots back to the 40s. Back then, we were called La Popular. Started, like I said, in the 40s, making tamales and pastries and a little, all kinds of different Mexican goodies. And we ended up on 2012 Larimer. We outgrew the back of that store, where we would sell all kinds of tamales, and we're trying to make tortillas and bread and cookies and pastries and stuff. And so Dad Sal came down here and bought the old Duffy's building on 31st and Larimer. And so we've been down here ever since. He bought it in about 1974. And let me tell you, Dad had so much vision. We certainly didn't. We were wondering, what are you doing buying this building? We'll never, never fill this building. And now we've got it filled to the gills. And so here we are in our old building. And, you know, for years, Raul and I wanted to, my brother Raul, he's the big cheese, Sal's son. I'm kind of like the adopted son. I came in the late 70s and just stuck around. And so we've been here ever since, trying to make really innovative, fun, cool, hyper-local products that chefs will demand.
Rich, that's great. You know, you've shared stories with me in the past, but 31st and Larimer, 1975. Were there still horses out there? No, you did share with me. There was no traffic there. There was no volume like we see today. You and the crew would go out and play touch football in the street.
That is correct. Raul and I would throw the football around out in Larimer Street. It was a one-way back then. And if you were down here, you were probably lost. I remember we hired a girl to help us in the office, and she went home all excited that she got the job. And when she told her family where her job was going to be, they would not let her come to work here. It was a bad part of town. So now fast forward to now it's the cool, hip, funky part, and it's fun to watch. And we've got, we've had all kinds of street artists paint all kinds of amazing wall murals all over our building, and we love it. We love it. We don't want to be the guys that, hey, stay off our lawn. We want to embrace the change and be a positive part of the community.
That's great. You know, Rich, I've been in your office, and among some of the things that were always impressive to me are the pictures of you in the middle of a cornfield or in the middle of a wheat field. And these are the sources for your corn tortillas and your flour tortillas.
Absolutely. You know, we started, and I'll tell you, we have become the hyper-local, like, leaders in this. But I'm going to tell you, it was really by accident. It was a matter of survival. At the time, we had to develop relationships with our farmers, whether it was the wheat farmers, corn farmers. We've developed now relationships with our sunflower farmers for our sunflower oil, and all these. And our business has really been based on relationships, not promotions, but just relationships. And I think when we've done this, I think when a person does that and you go meet the farmer and you find out how many generations they've been there and how hard it's been, you know, when you get that bag of corn or you get that sack of flour, it just makes you want to treat that ingredient with significantly more reverence to make something that those generations of farmers would be proud of, that we're going to make something that will reflect the hard work, the perseverance, the dedication. And so that's what we do, and that's the part of our business that is, it's weird for most chefs or most people that buy tortillas, they probably aren't looking for something like that. But I have to say, I think we've tapped onto a segment of the market, a niche, if you will, that's exactly what they're looking for. And so we love making great tortillas and chips that tell a story, and they tell a story for generations. And they show respect for what farmers do and reverence and elevate their work. And certainly one of our favorite things to do here is shine the light that we have on those that have helped us get to this point. It's not about us. Rather, we like to celebrate the people that brought us here.
Very good. Rich, you mentioned the sunflower oil people out of Lamar. And we've met them through the Chefs Association, but that's quite the operation out there. And Rich, you go through a little bit of oil over there at your place when you're making those corn tortillas.
We sure do, you know, and that's the Colorado Mills oil, pressed in Lamar, Colorado. You've got Rick Robbins, who pretty much runs the place, and then Zach Kreider, who he was the one that introduced us to Colorado Mills. And it was funny, when he came to us with the oil, I was trying to shoot it down and punch holes in what he was telling me. And poor Zach, he hung in there with us, and he showed perseverance. And you know what it ended up being is, I was like, Zach, you're actually underselling your oil. It's better than what you're even selling it to be. And so we switched over to, that was the oil to fry all of our chips. All of that's the only oil we use. High oleic, because there's high, mid, and low oleic acid levels. We do nothing but the high, the best there is. And so we started frying all of our chips in it. And then one day we run out of shortening for our flour tortillas, and we had to use sunflower oil. And lo and behold, it made the tortillas better, more flexible, softer, fluffier. So that now that's the only oil slash shortening in the building is Colorado Mills. And we're using right at about 10,000 pounds a week of that oil.
Yeah. And that comes in, is that a 400-gallon pallet that they ship that in?
Well, you know, I know it as weight. It's a tote.
Yeah.
And it's got 2,100 pounds in there. So it could be about that size.
Yeah. Very good.
Hey, Rich, I haven't been to your facility. I know Chef Jackson has, but maybe you could give our listeners a kind of a walking tour through your facility and talk about the variety of the products that you make and then how you make them, what makes you different, what differentiates Rockalita's tortillas from, you know, a competitor. And just a little walk, give us a little bit of an idea of what it looks like to go walk through your plant.
Absolutely, and I'm going to do that from the confines of my office because I'll tell you, the machines that make all these things is really loud.
Sure.
Really loud. From here, if I was to give you a tour, first place we'd walk over is to our flour tortilla line. We have two of them, and in our flour tortilla lines, but with, between the two, we have one line that's focused primarily on making large flour wraps, and that's like anything 9 inches and larger in diameter. And then we've got a smaller line that runs any our smaller tortillas. We call those tortillas, not wraps. They're anything from like 4 inch to 8 inch. Different recipe, different machinery, different technology. On the wraps, it's all about precision and making them exactly the same. And on the tortillas, actually, we kind of build in a little bit of, I'm going to call it planned sloppiness, for that artisanal look, that, because they are handmade. To start with, though, the dough that we push through either one of these lines, it's all Colorado wheat, Ardent Mills. Ardent Mills is the world's, a lot of people don't know this, Ardent Mills is the world's largest flour miller, and they're headquartered right here in Denver, Colorado, on 19th and Lawrence. We've kind of become their unofficial flour tortilla test lab. We do a lot of things with them, and we actually even help competitors develop recipes. We've been doing this a long time. I got to tell you, we're pretty good at it, and so they lean on us, and we're happy to help. We're happy to help those in our industry. It's not just about us getting our larger slice of the pie. We're all about making the pie bigger. But so we're using all Ardent Mills wheat flour, which is all Colorado wheat, grown wheat. And so there's a difference here. I'm going to back up. You know, a lot of people say made in Colorado. Well, made in Colorado is great. What we focus on here is everything is made from Colorado. It's one thing to get, if you're in Denver and you're buying wheat from another state and shortening from Asia and this from somewhere else and all that stuff. Made in Colorado is one thing. Made from Colorado is what we do. So let's get back to the wheat. We're using Ardent Mills wheat. We're going to put in the sunflower oil, the Hialeah sunflower oil. We're going to cut little pieces of dough anywhere from 28 grams up to 140 grams. We're going to let that dough rest and proof and fully hydrate, get nice and soft. And then we're going to smash the bejesus out of it with our big hydraulic press. That press will press with almost 20,000 pounds of pressure. And so we're going to press out the tortillas. Then they get conveyed into a conveyor oven. They go back and forth three times. They're going to come out of there real hot. Now we're on a race to cooling and drying the surface so they don't stick. So they'll be on a conveyor. Then they get counted, bagged, boxed, palletized, and out to your favorite restaurants, usually within 48 hours. So that's the flour tortillas. And so on flour tortillas, we're running two shifts, 6 days a week. We're running about 12 to 15,000 pounds a day of flour tortillas right now.
Wow.
And so we're doing all different types of flavors in those. We're doing a spinach. We do a red chili. We do a Pueblo green chili. We get the green chilies from Musso Farms in Pueblo, Colorado, just east of there. We're making a whole wheat agave. So it's kind of like if King's Hawaiian Bread made a wrap, that was the game we played. What kind of wrap would they make? And so we've got those going out there. Also, many of your listeners can probably or maybe have already bought our products through Royal Crest Dairy. They approached us, and we were proud to partner with them. They deliver some of our smaller, we call them baby wraps and mama wraps and junior wraps, different sizes, and for people to enjoy at home. And so the difference is you can get large tortillas at the grocery store, but they're really – they won't wrap and hold as well as ours do. Ours are industrial grade. They're food service grade. So kind of think of at home, if you had a, you take your oven at home, your range, and you take it to a restaurant, it's, you'd be lucky if it lasts 8 hours. You need a heavy duty grill for a heavy duty environment, and that's what we make. That's the difference. So that's the flour. Corn, oh my gosh, we cook and grind corn here. We get corn from the Indian reservation called Bow and Arrow Farms on the Southern Ute Tribe. Simon Martinez and his crew down there. I wouldn't say we're his largest buyer of corn, but we were one of the earliest adopters. We cook and grind that corn, and we'll make either corn tortillas or chips out of that, and then find them again in the sunflower oil. Our chips can be found at 7-Eleven, Mile High Stadium, Meow Wolf, the Broadmoor, the Vale Resorts, all over the place, all over the place. And same thing with our corn tortillas. And so we're making all kinds of different varieties of corn and flour tortillas and chips, being innovative. So we have a blast. That's the quick tour.
Wow, thank you. That sounds great.
Fantastic. You know, Rich, I would say that probably 8 years ago or 9 years ago, we were both involved with Colorado Ag Day at the state capitol, probably March 16th, somewhere along that. And I was asked to represent the Colorado Pork Council, and we had decided we were going to do Mexican street tacos. And then you and I got together, and ironically, you had just met Mr. Musso. And he said, what can we do with my peppers for Colorado Ag Day? And that's when we got the idea of infusing the Pueblo green chilies into tortillas that then I use for Mexican street tacos. It's a great story from the old days, isn't it?
Oh, and you know what's funny is how I think when people saw it that day at the state capitol, it was one of those where you slap your head, your forehead with an open palm, and like, why has that not been done before? Everyone loved it. Great, great partners there, Jackson. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. You know, also, thank you for the walking tour through your shop. I've been at the very end of the flour press or the flour oven. I've eaten those tortillas right off the rack. They don't get any better than that, Rich. I mean, here you are. I have a tortilla I can barely hold in my hand because it's that warm. And then you just pack them up nice and toasty, warm in plastic, wrap them up, and they're off to your favorite dining establishment, aren't they?
Yeah, it doesn't take them long. Our challenge here, honestly, and we've been very, very blessed, immensely blessed. Our challenge here is really keeping up with the demand.
Yeah. Very good. Hey, how about distribution? You don't have a lot of trucks downtown, but, you know, I know that we find your products up in the mountains, up in the ski areas, all over the state. So you must have a couple of different opportunities to get that product out to the public.
Oh, we sure do. We got out of self-distribution. And years ago, we had to self-distribute because no one wanted to carry tortillas. It was such a small category. The distributors would look at us like, why do we want to carry that? There's not enough usage. So we had to deliver ourselves. And, you know, we were selling them by the pack. We would drive across town to sell 3 dozen.
Wow.
My God. And so then we switched to the distributors. And so, yes, we've been very blessed. We've got the food service distributors like Shamrock, U.S. Food, Cisco, Performance Food Group, 5280 Produce, Italco. There are many of the distributors now are taking them all over the place, and they've been great partners and made it possible for us to grow.
Very good. Hey, here's a trivia question, Rich. What's the farthest distance your product has traveled? We have any chefs in California using that product through Cisco or Shamrock? Have you heard of anything that far out?
Okay, so now I've got an answer for you, I think. Is it by usage or just it made it there?
Well, probably a little bit of both. If it made it there, they're going to use it, right?
You'd think so. I tell you what, we had, you remember Dave Cooley? He was with Department of Ag. He was in marketing.
Yeah.
He went to climb Mount Everest.
Yeah.
A few years back. And he took our tortillas with him.
Wow. That's cool.
Well, that's pretty interesting, you know?
He sent me a picture. But as far as usage, I would say probably, up to a few years ago when transportation really got to be challenging, we were shipping product to literally every state but Hawaii. And then transportation just got to be a nightmare, and we just pulled it back in. But we were up in Canada back in the early 80s introducing nacho chips to Canadians. They thought, when we were making nachos, they had not seen the cheese sauce like that, the queso.
Yeah.
And they thought we were putting mustard on the chips. They didn't know it was cheese.
Wow. Hey, Rich, I have a question for you about tortilla chips in general, because, of course, we'd love to send everyone to buy all their tortilla chips all the time from Rockalita's Tortillas, but if they're not buying through the dairy that sells your product, they certainly can find your product at food service. But so someone listening is at the aisle at their local neighborhood retail store, and they're looking for tortilla chips. There's the store brand. There's a couple local-sounding brands. Then there's the big national brands, the Frito-Lay brands. And, you know, it's amazing to me how different the price is. Some you can buy for $1.99 a bag, and some are like $6 a bag. It's just amazing. So what should people be looking for when they're buying chips in general?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's probably – fashionable to like try to bash the big boys, but I tend to not be in that category. You know, I think Frito-Lay actually, we still need Frito-Lay because us little guys cannot make all the tortilla chips that people want to eat. So there's definitely a huge place for those guys.
Right.
But I think with the smaller companies, you're going to see, like with the corn that we get, the heirloom Indian corn from Bow and Arrow Farms. Frito-Lay couldn't use that corn because there's not enough of that corn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they really moved the needle. And so these smaller brands like, you know, myself, and there are some smaller local brands that are doing it, we are working with the smaller farmers. Usually it's all non-GMO. There's some cool trick to it, and also it's about what we're supporting. You know, we talk about here, I think people are recognizing that they have a chance to be food activists, if you will, and they can determine our food chain by the choices they make with their credit card, with their wallet, with what they're buying. And so if you want a sustainable and you want to help the little guys, sometimes it does in fact cost a little bit more, but know that, you know, you're helping a local farm, you're helping families get their kids through college, like with us. Here's something. All of our energy is wind-generated electricity. It's been that way 100% since, oh my gosh, years now. And it costs us a little bit more. But with that, we pay more because the investors are able to start building more wind farms, windmills. We help, you know, by using our products, you help get more wind farms. And so those are the types of things that you know, at least now and then, hey, give the little guys a chance and support your neighbors, truly your neighbors.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's a good thing to remind people of. And thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. Rich, I think that, you know, one of the things that, man, you can't escape this word, sustainability, probably the word of the year, that's for sure. But, you know, I love the story about how you happened upon the idea of using spent beer grain as an ingredient in nacho chips. You want to tell that story?
Oh, that's a great story, Jackson. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's funny. You know, a couple things intersected at one time. Is number one, a good friend of mine, Larry Nemnick, he was up at Tommyknocker Brewery at the time. Now he's at the Platte River Bar and Grill. We've gone down to see him, Jack.
Oh, yes, we have. I enjoyed his time.
I know Larry. Great guy.
I love Larry. He's awesome. So I run across Larry, and he's like, you know, I'm making nachos up here, and I need a thick, strong chip, because he was making truly a mountain range of nachos. And so I went up to see him, and I said, okay, I think I know what we can do. And we talked about it. And he says, hey, can you do anything with this spent grain? Well, I didn't even know what spent grain was. I, what is spent grain? He says, that's the grain that we cook after we cook the barley and all that stuff. That's the grain that's left over. It's really nutritious. It's very healthy. It's amazing. So I said, well, bring me some. Let me see. So he brings it to me, put it on a plate. I chew it a little bit so I can kind of tell, yeah, it's going to run through my machines. So we come back. I said, I can make a chip with that grain. At the time, I was working on trying to make a multi-grain chip because I'm like, I'm too close to Boulder to not have a multi-grain chip. What's ours going to be like? Well, this spent grain fit the bill perfect. So we made the spent grain, put it in with that yellow heirloom Indian corn from Bow and Arrow Farms. So truly, it's Colorado. It's sustainable. It's healthier. And we dusted them with a little bit of red chili, garlic, and salt. We call those nachos borrachos, drunk nachos. And they are all over the place. That's been a fun chip for many, many reasons.
I think that's one of your... It got my attention, I'll tell you that. I think that's probably one of your loss leaders. Very good. All righty. Hey, Rich, we got about a minute to go here as we try to wrap up this edition of Food Chat. I want to thank you for really bringing in the insight of everything that you're doing in the middle of the downtown area there. And it's so great to hear of a local producer doing well and using local products. That's really what we're all shooting for. Greg, any closing comments?
Well, I just really enjoyed your comments, Rich, and maybe you could just wrap up the last few seconds here and tell people how they can find out more about your company and where they can find your product in the marketplace.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, our website is www.raquelitas.com, RAQUELITAS, or just Google Tortillas Denver, and it will pretty much pop up. One thing we don't do is we don't sell them here, so don't come here to try to buy them. The city made us stop doing that. Shamrock Food Service Warehouse is one location. Marzik Stores, their markets are another place to get them. But we're here, you know, the best way to support us, go support your local restaurants. Your restaurants, your brew pubs, your hamburger places, all of them, and enjoy and celebrate. We've got such a robust Colorado hospitality industry, and we've all come through it, hopefully through COVID, a little bit better and a little more delicious.
Very good. Hey, Rich, you know, I don't want to keep you any longer than we have to, because I know that somewhere along the way here, you're going to be making about 2,000 tamales for the Christmas season, you and Raul and company. Want to thank you so much for coming on the air today, Rich. All right? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and have a great holiday season.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having us on the show today.
You're welcome. Right. Thanks, Rich. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Today's episode of Food Chat is brought to you by Ranch FreshMeats.com. At RanchFreshMeats.com, they do the best job of finding the local meat that you need for the holidays. We have gift boxes, steaks, our two sizes of bacon box for the bacon lover in your family, a small and a large bacon lover's box. So, hey, do your holiday shopping at RanchFreshMeats.com, and you'll be supporting local Colorado families. RanchFreshMeats.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.